It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, delivering an hour of crime shows. Later on, we'll hear a broadcast of Mr. District Attorney, but right now it's Official Detective, on the air at the same time as Dragnet on NBC. This episode from November 8, 1956, called A Spinster Murdered.
Official Detective, dedicated to the men who guard your safety and protect your home, your police department.
Lieutenant John Hogarth. Lieutenant Britt is on leave. An elderly spinster named Pauline Smith lived alone in a small house on a suburban street. One evening at 7:30, a curious boy peeked in the front window, saw Miss Smith lying in a pool of blood, and ran for a policeman. In the murder house, while waiting for the coroner and lab men, I dictated my preliminary observations to Sergeant Allen. Name of victim, Pauline Smith. Late 60s, white hair.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors report no knowledge of friends or relatives. Say that she seldom spoke to anyone.
Kind of like a lady hermit, eh, Lieutenant?
Yes. Corpse lying on the living room floor. Skull crushed.
Mm.
Apparent murder weapon, iron skillet lying near body. Skillet stained with blood. Rigor mortis condition indicates victim dead at least 2 or 3 hours. You got that, Allen?
Mm-hmm. What about the motive?
$62 in victim's purse indicates motive, not robbery. Neighbor reports seeing man, medium height, wearing light gray hat, wide brim, descending victim's front steps between 3 and 5 p.m.
She couldn't come any closer to the time than that?
We're lucky she could give us even that much. Let's keep going, Allen.
Shoot.
Visible fingerprints on greasy handle of skillet. Bloody prints on inside of outside knobs of front door. Assailant apparently went to kitchen after crime for snack and drink of water. Bloody prints on water glass and refrigerator door. Found on drain board an unfinished wedge of cheese. Bite marks of teeth plainly visible in cheese.
Boy, this guy must have had no nerves at all. Imagine killing the old lady, then stopping to bite into a hunk of cheese.
Well, let's hope that they are the killer's teeth marks.
Yeah. Any more notes?
Couple. Cigar butt in kitchen sink. Half-used book of paper matches on drain board. Printed on match cover, Nick Ramsey's Bar and Grill.
Slower.
Nick Ramsey's Bar and Grill.
Right.
936 Farley Street. Got all that?
Yep. Oh, the coroner is just pulling up out front, Lieutenant.
Good. As soon as he and the lab men take over, we'll drive down to Ramsey's Bar and ask a few questions. Maybe one of his regular customers wears a light gray hat with a wide brim.
Yeah, I do have a customer that wears a hat like that. Comes in here every night and drinks at the bar for about an hour.
You know his name, Ramsey?
No. You say he's a real quiet guy. Never talks much to nobody.
You think some of your other customers might know something about this man?
Miss Bell might. You say that young girl eating dinner over there in that booth? She eats here regular.
Thanks, Ramsey. We'll ask her.
Okay. I'll be right here back at the bar.
Excuse me, please. You're Miss Bell, I believe?
Yes, Lucy Bell.
This is Lieutenant Hogarth from police headquarters. I'm Sergeant Allen.
Police headquarters? Oh, dear. Sit down, please.
Thanks. We're investigating a murder, Miss Bell. Nick Ramsey said you might help us out.
Nick said I might help? How?
We're trying to get some information on one of Nick's bar customers, one of the regulars. Wears a light gray hat with a wide brim.
Oh, what about him?
You've noticed him at the bar?
Oh, yes. Almost every time I've eaten here.
You know his name?
No.
When did you see him here last, Miss Bell?
Last night.
You sure?
Oh, absolutely. He's the man who stared.
Stared at you?
No, at the woman who sat across from me, right here in this booth.
This woman was a friend of yours?
No, a stranger. The room was crowded last night, and she asked if she could share this booth with me. I said, of course, so she sat down.
But what about the man in the gray hat?
Well, after a while, I noticed him staring at this woman. He must have stared at her for, at least 2 or 3 minutes. Then he paid his bar check and went out.
Did this woman realize he was staring at her?
No, Lieutenant. I think she was a little too tipsy to notice.
Did she get tipsy in here?
I guess so. While I was eating dinner, she had four drinks.
She just sat here drinking without saying anything?
Oh, no, Sergeant. She talked a blue streak. And she said the strangest thing. Made me feel creepy.
What did she say, Miss Bell?
Well, first of all...
What is it?
The man in the gray hat. He just came in.
Seated with Miss Bell in the tavern booth, the sergeant and I were questioning the man in the gray hat. He gave his name as Harry Castle. Are you employed in this city, Mr. Castle?
Yes, Lieutenant. I have my own business.
What is it?
A printing plant on the corner of 4th and Turner.
Married?
11 years. We have two small children. Look, I'm delighted to have met Miss Bell, but I'm getting curious.
I don't blame you, Mr. Castle. These officers are investigating a murder.
A murder? You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Ask them.
Well?
An elderly woman named Pauline Smith was killed this afternoon. A man of your description was seen leaving the house between 3 and 5.
What?
Where were you between 3 and 5, Mr. Castle?
Well, now, let me think. I left the printing plant at 4:10. I had an appointment with my dentist.
Dentist's name and address, please.
Dr. Thaddeus Hyatt, 321 Doyle Street. Dear me, I never thought I'd be a murder suspect. What about you, Miss Bell? How do you fit into this picture?
Well, I told them about that woman who sat in the booth last night. You stared at her for a long time, remember?
A woman who's... Oh, yes, of course.
Why did you stare at her, Mr. Castle?
For a very human reason, Lieutenant. I was struck by her amazing resemblance to my late mother.
You mean the woman who sat here was elderly?
I'd say she was in her late 60s, wouldn't you, Miss Bell?
Yes.
Did she have white hair?
Oh, pure white. Why do you men seem so surprised?
Well, Miss Smith fits that description, too.
What?
You mean the woman who sat here was murdered?
You and Miss Bell can tell us that after you've seen the body. I'll have to ask you both to come along now. We'll drive you down to the morgue. All right, you both identified the body of Pauline Smith. There's no doubt in your minds.
No, sir, I'm positive.
Miss Bell?
I'm positive, too. That's the poor woman who sat with me last night.
You were telling us about her before Mr. Castle came into the tavern. You said she got tipsy last night and talked a lot and said the strangest things. What did you mean?
Well, she talked about crime. Most of it didn't make any sense, but somehow I got the idea she'd been in prison.
In prison? That nice-looking old lady?
Alan, when we're through here, get one of the lab men to go to the morgue and take her fingerprints.
Okay. It'd be funny if she had a police record.
We'll need your prints, too, Mr. Castle.
What for?
To compare with bloody prints found at the scene of the crime.
Well, but... Very well. But I can tell you right now they're not mine.
Let's hope not.
Lieutenant, are you going to hold Mr. Castle overnight?
No, not if he isn't planning to leave the city.
Of course I'm not. I'll be at my printing plant tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Fine. I'm sure you'll want to know the results of the fingerprint comparison. You can go home now, Miss Bell. Thanks a lot for your help.
Not at all.
Okay, Mr. Castle. Let's go down to identification and take your prints.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Castle.
Good morning. My secretary said that you wanted to see me here at headquarters.
You can take the worried look off your face, Mr. Castle. The bloody fingerprints aren't yours.
Oh. Well, I knew that, of course, but I guess you men can't blame me for spending a sleepless night. But what about the killer's prints? Are they, do you know to whom they belong?
Yes, an ex-bank robber named Sam Runyon. He's been arrested twice in this town. His record's in our files.
Have you picked him up?
Not yet. His present address is unknown. By the way, we've checked your dentist, too. Dr. Hyatt said you were in his office yesterday, so you're okay.
Good for Hyatt. I'll pay his bill at once.
About the dead woman, maybe you'd like to know what we found out about her.
I sure would.
Pauline Smith was only an alias. Her real name was Sarah Duncan.
Oh, dear. And I said she resembled my poor mother.
Her prints are in our files, too. In her younger days, Sarah Duncan headed a stick-up mob.
Well, nothing will surprise me from now on. What else?
About 20 years ago, she pulled a successful bank robbery and dropped out of sight. Changed her name to Pauline Smith, moved into this house, and apparently led a quiet life till yesterday, when she was murdered.
And you think the killer, this fellow Sam Runyon, was a member of her old stick-up mob?
We won't know for sure until we catch him. I've wired the FBI to see if they know where he is. I ought to get their answer sometime this afternoon.
Alan.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Hold on to your hat. I just heard from the FBI.
They know where Sam Runyon is?
They sure do. In the cemetery.
What? What?
He was killed in the Michigan gun battle 14 months ago.
14? Hey, but look. If he's been dead that long, how the heck did his bloody fingerprints get in the murder house?
That's what I want to know. Get the crime lab on the phone. I want them to make a big photographic blow-up of those prints so they can be studied further.
Lieutenant, the fingerprint expert's here.
Good. Well, come in, Finch.
I've got news for you, Lieutenant. Those bloody prints were forged.
Forged? You mean they're not Sam Runyon's?
Oh, yes, originally.
Explain that, will you, Finch?
Well, when Runyon was alive, somebody got his fingerprints. They were reproduced, and the killer planted them yesterday after he committed the murder.
Well, how were they reproduced?
I'd say on a rubber stamp.
You're absolutely sure the prints were forged?
No doubt about it.
Alan, get the phone book and look up Harry Castle in the yellow pages.
Okay.
Now, Finch, how could you tell that those prints were forged?
By studying the enlargements, the ridges in a forged print don't have the same fine arrangement of the pores that you find in the natural print process.
And what makes you think they were planted by means of a rubber stamp?
That's the way it's been done in most cases on record. Of course, making such a rubber stamp calls for a great deal of skill.
Well, Sergeant?
Castle's got an ad in this phone book. Listen, Harry Castle, quality printing, rubber stamps, expertly made. Rubber stamps.
Thanks a lot, Finch.
Glad to help.
Well, Lieutenant, do we pick up Castle?
Not yet. I want one more proof. Let's hope that can be furnished by Castle's dentist.
But Mr. Castle is a fine man. Why, he's been my patient for years.
I know, Dr. Hyatt. But I'd still like you to make that comparison test.
Oh, of course, Lieutenant. I have a cast of Mr. Castle's teeth. Right here in the cabinet.
Exactly what time was it when Castle was here in your office yesterday, Doctor?
Oh, he arrived at 4:15.
What time did he leave?
About 4:30. It was just a short appointment for a gum treatment. But I can't imagine how you could suspect him of committing murder.
He would have had plenty of time to get from here to the woman's house. The coroner couldn't tell the exact moment she was killed.
I suppose not. Well, here's the plastic mold of Mr. Castle's teeth.
Okay, now here's the piece of cheese that the killer bit into. I'd like you to compare the mold of Mr. Castle's bite with the teeth marks in the cheese.
Very well. Of course, these marks in the cheese are only from the anterior surface of the incisors. But Mr. Castle's cutting teeth are peculiarly shaped, and they're... Oh, dear.
Well, Doctor?
I'm sorry for Mr. Castle. In my opinion, it was he who bit into the cheese.
Thank you, Doctor. All right, Alan, let's pick him up.
Good evening, Miss Bell. May I share your booth with you?
Oh, Mr. Castle. Of course. Do sit down.
Thank you. Have you ordered dinner?
Not yet. I was just studying the menu.
Young lady, do you realize that you almost got me into severe trouble with the police?
Oh, I know. And I'm terribly sorry. What finally happened?
Don't worry. The killer's been identified. A criminal named Sam Runyon.
Oh, I'm so glad you're out of it. I was just sick about being the cause of your trouble.
Well, be happy again. It's all over now.
Oh, what's this?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, but...
Give it to me.
A little rubber stamp.
Give it to me, I said.
Oh, I've never seen one like this before. It makes fingerprints.
I'll just put it back in my pocket. I keep it for luck. I'm always fooling with it.
But I don't understand. Why did you get so upset?
Miss Bell, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I guess being a suspected murderer affected me more than I thought.
Yes, I suppose so. And it was all my fault. What can I do to atone for my sins?
Well, you could have dinner with me, would you?
All right, it's a deal. Here's the menu.
I don't mean here in Nick Ramsey's. Wouldn't you like to go to a quieter place?
Well, all right, anything you say. I'm still atoning.
Yes. Good. Let's get out of here. My car's parked right down the street.
How handy. Good night, Nick.
Hey, Miss Bell, ain't you going to have a dinner?
Not tonight, Nick.
Come on, Miss Bell.
What's the matter? You saw as my chef?
Oh, I love your chef. But Mr. Castle just offered to take me to dinner to a nice, quiet place.
Miss Bell, please.
Okay, Miss Bell. Have a good time.
Thanks, Nick. I will. I'm sorry, Mr. Castle. I didn't realize you were in a hurry.
Oh, that's all right. In my nerves again, I guess. My car's down here to the left.
Where are you taking me? To some place that's just oozing with glamour and soft music?
I don't know about the glamour and soft music, Miss Bell, but I assure you, it's a quiet place.
Well, the lieutenant and the sergeant.
Ramsey, we're looking for Mr. Castle.
You're a couple of minutes too late. They just left.
They? Who do you mean?
Castle and Miss Bell.
You know where they went?
No.
Did the girl go willingly?
Sure. He hollered at me and said they were going to dinner in a quiet place.
How long were they here together?
Just a couple of minutes. They sat over there in that booth talking.
What about? Do you know?
No, but, I seemed to have a little argument about something. Castle was real sore. Then he laughed, and then they went out.
Any idea what they argued about?
No, but he dropped something on the table. When Miss Bell picked it up and looked at it, that's when he got sore.
Well, what was it, Ramsey? Was it a rubber stamp?
Yeah. One of them little rubber stamps. How'd you know? Hey, where you going?
Tell you later. Come on, Alan. Let's get out to the car in a hurry.
I got Castle's home address.
He wouldn't take the girl there. He's got a family. Get behind the wheel.
Sure. Where are we heading?
Castle's printing plant, 4th and Turner.
It's so quiet here in your printing plant, Mr. Castle.
You should hear it in the daytime when all the presses are going.
Oh, I'd love to. May I stay here and look at this press while you go upstairs to your office?
I'm not going upstairs, Miss Bell.
Isn't that why we stopped off here? To get a letter you'd forgotten?
No. No, there isn't any letter. Miss Bell?
What are you doing? Mr. Castle?
I'll have to ask you not to cry out.
Take your hands off my neck.
It's no use. I've got to kill you.
No. No.
You shouldn't have seen that rubber stamp. Nobody knows about it but me. I'm sorry, but I can't let you live.
Oh, those fingerprints. You put them there with that rubber stamp. You murdered that woman.
And now I'm going to murder you.
Oh, no. Help! Help!
Quiet, I said.
Miss Bell!
Help! He's killing me.
Let go of her.
Take your hands away. I've got to get out of here.
You'll get out all right. Put the cuffs on him.
Hold your arms out.
He killed that old woman.
We know that. Sergeant, drive Miss Bell to a doctor and come back for us.
Sure. Come on, Miss Bell. Take it easy. You'll be okay now.
He was going to murder me, too. He was choking me.
I didn't kill that old woman. You told me yourself those bloody fingerprints belonged to a man named Runyon.
That was your mistake, Castle. Runyon's been dead for more than a year.
Dead? Sam Runyon? I didn't know Sam was dead.
You do now. Why did you kill Sarah Duncan? Come on. Why did you kill her?
I had to. Years ago, I was one of a hold-up gang. But I was never arrested. I went straight. And I married and started this printing business. And then Sarah found me. She blackmailed me for 15 years. She bled me white.
When did you decide to kill her?
Night before last, in the tavern.
She was drunk and talking about crime. I knew that someday she'd give me away. So yesterday I killed her and planted Runyon's fingerprints in the house.
Where is the rubber stamp?
It's in my right-hand pocket.
Mm-hmm. I've got it. How did you manage to get Runyon's prints in the first place?
Sam was in the hold-up gang when I was. One day I got his prints from a whiskey glass and made the rubber stamp.
Why?
Oh, no reason. I was good at it, that's all. I just made the stamp for practice. Yesterday I used it for the first time. I'd kept it all those years as a good luck piece.
Some good luck piece. It finally trapped you in a murder. Come on, Castle. We'll go out front and wait for Sergeant Allen.
Official Detective, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 8, 1956 on NBC. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for one of the most popular crime shows on the air. During radio's yesteryear, it's Mr. District Attorney. At the time of this next episode, it was part of NBC's Wednesday night lineup at 9:30. Over 17.5 million people were tuned in to this episode, making it the second most listened to crime drama on the air, the first being the Edward G. Robinson starring show Big Town, with Jay Johnston and Vicky Vola. This May 19, 1948 broadcast, called The Case of Spring Fever.
Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica present
Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mr. District Attorney is brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney now to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
One of the real tragedies in some criminal histories, ladies and gentlemen, is the exaggerated role minor circumstances play in the making of a transgressor. In tonight's unusual case of spring fever, for example, it is apparent that insignificant factors, a mood, a normal impatient yearning for success, and a spring night, all combine to help make a criminal. We begin at dusk in a large park here in the center of our city.
Mickey?
Yeah?
Feel the grass. Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Huh?
When you run your hand through it, I mean, it's almost like velvet.
You'll catch cold lying on the ground like this, Mary.
No, I won't. Couldn't on a night like this. The city seems a million miles away.
Only a block.
I know, but it seems that way. Oh, listen. Hold my hand, Mickey.
Mary, listen a minute.
After we're married, we're only have children, I mean. I'm going to bring them over here every night. This same spot.
Mary, I saw Deuce Wilson today.
Nicky, you promised. You know what he is. Well, he's trouble. He even has a police record.
Listen, Mary, you got to understand this. Deuce Wilson and I, well, we...
Nicky, tell me. Tell me quick. I'm scared all over. Nicky?
Don't get mad, honey. We got some money, that's all, this afternoon.
What?
Enough for everything. We can get married, fix up your old lady's arm, take a trip even. Why, we...
What did you do? Tell me, Nicky. Tell me now.
We stuck up a filling station.
Oh.
Well?
Is there more, Nicky? I want to know it all.
More?
What... else, Nicky?
The filling station guy is dead.
All right, Brophy. Bring that line along the driveway. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Chief. Well, we got the rope set, Chief. This whole side of the gas station is closed to traffic.
Oh, good. Has the lab truck arrived yet, Miss Miller?
Yes, it has, Chief. Oh, and the medical examiner wants to know if he can take the body downtown.
Oh, yes, I believe so.
Okay.
We have all the measurements, haven't we, Harrington?
That's right, Chief, and pictures, too. I had Ray shoot from all the angles.
Fine. Well, all right, then. We'll let the lab crew go to work on the driveway here.
Why, did you find something, Chief?
Well, you never know in a case like this. Tire marks, pieces of broken glass, even the oil that dripped out of the car is standing here at the pump. It's just as well to cover everything.
Check. The diagrams ought to be easy, though, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
As I see it, the car pulled off the street and stopped right here in front of this gas pump.
Yes, I was just going over that. Mm-hmm. The attendant was inside the office, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right, Chief. According to the dame across the street, he was.
Well, she's here, Miss Miller?
The witness?
Yes.
Yes, Ted's with her inside.
All right, I'll talk to her in just a moment. We're agreed then, Harrington. The attendant came out of the office, approached the car about here.
Yeah, that's right. That's my guess, Chief. One of the men must have got out of the car right here where the chalk mark is and backed him up to the office door.
Yes, and then opened the cash drawer. Oh, how much did they get, incidentally?
Well, Max checking the ledgers, Chief, about $400, he thinks.
Oh, as much as that.
Yeah, that's right, Chief. It was just before they changed shifts in these stations, you know. Mm. The whole 8 hours take was in the drawer.
Yes, I see. This is the spot here where the attendant was shot down.
Mm-hmm. Where the red chalk is, Chief. I figure he must have made a move maybe toward that phone and maybe the bums got nervous.
Yes, that seems likely. And now, what about that witness, Harrington? Anything at all?
Nothing positive on the car, Chief. A black sedan, she says. No make.
License?
She didn't look.
She does have a good description of one of the men. There were two in the car.
Oh?
And the one was considerably younger than the other, she says.
Well, let's get her story then, Harrington. I want to know where she was standing, what she saw, and, oh, yes, if she can point out either of the men in the file.
Well, she's waiting, Chief.
Good, and we'll get right down to work.
Hey, Nick, get this now. Get this inning. That's swell, Duke.
Mr. Wilton, you've got to talk to me.
This is your girl, huh, Nick?
I told you about Mary, Duke. We're going to get married. Are we, honey?
Nice looking kid. Only, you made a mistake, Nick.
Me? What do you mean, Duke? I'll get you.
I made Nicky bring me here, Mr. Wilton. I want to talk to you.
Hold it, Bright Eyes. Hey, look, Nick. Look at the tip of my nose. Hey, come on, look close.
Yeah?
Mom, what? No harm, Nicky. That's just so you'll remember. I told you not to bring anybody up to
you. You don't have to hit a guy, Deuce. Mary made me bring her.
Yeah? Well, what for, Blue Eyes?
Because Nicky's in trouble, that's why. You killed a man this afternoon, didn't you? Yes, and I won't let Nicky get mixed up in it.
Mary, will you shut up?
Lay off, Nick. Go on, little girl. Talk some more.
There's no more to say. I just want you to keep away from Nicky, that's all. Oh, yes, and he's going to give you back his share of the money.
Oh, well, that's real nice of him now, isn't it?
Go on, Nicky. Give it back to him.
Dude, listen. She's excited.
Clam up. You're just a little late, you know, little girl. Nicky is mixed up with me. Plenty mixed up.
He didn't kill anybody. You did.
Oh, you know that too, huh? You get more mixed up all the time, Nick. Oh, before I forget, I got a little present for you.
Nick, that's a gun.
Deuce, for...
No need to get excited here. It's for you.
What?
Go on, take it.
Nicky, don't.
Take it, I said. And as for you, kid, get lost. You think the cops don't want you, Nicky, just because I did the shoot?
But I don't...
We're partners, sister, right up to here.
Oh, Nicky, he can't do this to you. He can't.
Get lost, I said. I got another job lined up, Nick. We'll pull it off as soon as I get the joint case.
Another gas station?
Yeah, cinch. I figure... Well, what are you staring at?
This isn't true. It can't be. Nicky, come on.
You ain't going, Mary. As a matter of fact, neither are you.
Deuce, now wait.
Don't look so scared, Nick. I just forgot to tell you, that's all, about your girl here.
About me?
Yeah. We're putting you to work, Bright Eyes. Starting with this gas station today. You put on an alert, Harrington?
Citywide, Chief. It was on the wire at noon.
Good. We may be wrong, of course, but if experience is right, this pair will try another job and soon.
Sure, Chief. Like that gang a few weeks back, they knocked over 4 liquor stores, and the 5th one, we nailed it.
Yes, yes, I was thinking of that. Or the Garrison couple.
Oh, yeah, John and Kay. Mm. Same thing, Chief. They specialized in bus drivers.
Chief, excuse me. Yes. That artist is here with the first draft.
Oh, thank you, Miss Miller. Ask him to wait.
Honest, Chief, what for? What?
Well, it's the usual. I had one of the men in the drafting room talk to that witness. He's doing a sketch from her description.
Oh, good. Everything helps, Chief. Mm. Me, I'll just keep looking for bums around filling stations.
Yeah.
Hello?
Now, the woman's hazy on some important details, but I thought we'd try her on a few sketches before we go any further.
All right.
Then there are the lab reports from the filling station itself.
All right.
I'll go over those this afternoon.
Say,
Chief? Yes, Spinner, what is it?
That was the 19th precinct.
Yes?
They just got a report on the Green Top filling station in their district.
Yeah, what report, Miss Miller?
Oh, it's not a holdup, Harrington. But the station attendant was warned this morning. You know, they all were.
Well, for Pete's sake, will you get to the point?
Well, I'm trying to, Harrington. This attendant says a man has been hanging around his station since noon.
Hey, Harrington.
I got you, Chief. If that joint's going to be cased, we're in.
Stop the car, please, honey.
That's it up ahead, Mary. See? Green Top service station. Duke said it'll be quiet.
We can't do this, I tell you. Oh, Nicky, listen to me. Duke isn't here now. We can drive right to the police station and tell them the whole thing.
Mary, will you use your head?
But I don't
see
what...
Let me talk, Mary. We can park here a minute.
I still say
Baby,
we can...
Baby, there's nothing we can do. Don't you understand that? I go to the cops now. Deuce will say I was with him on the other job.
But they might make allowances.
Will you listen to me? We gotta knock this joint off and get back to Deuce in 1 hour. If we don't, he'll...
He'll what?
Honey, he wouldn't stop at anything. Take your old lady.
Mama? What about her?
You don't want her to get... Well, hurt, do you?
Nicky!
You gotta think of things like that, Mary. If we rat on Deuce, he might do anything.
Oh, Nicky, no. Why, Mama's just... Oh...
See, kid, we got it. Come on.
I'm scared, Nicky. I don't want to do this.
Take it easy, Mary. I'm turning into the station.
Oh, Nicky, please, can't we?
Be quiet, baby. There's the attendant coming out of the office.
I'm so scared I can't even see.
Funny. Duke said the guy was just a kid. Here we go, baby. Come on, open the door and get out.
No.
Nothing's gonna happen. Go on. I'll be right behind you.
Hi.
Fill her up, sir.
What? Oh, yeah. Fill her up.
Regular or high test?
High test.
Boy, it's a wonderful day, ain't it?
You'll find out, pal. Start packing up.
Huh?
You heard me. Into the office, buddy. Stay in front of me, Mary.
Okay.
I ain't moving, son.
Get in there, I said. Come on.
Listen to me, son. Listen hard. We've been waiting for you. You ain't got a chance.
Nicky.
Shut up. Come on, Mac. Move, I said.
Look for yourself, son. Go on, look. You see those men on the corner? They're detectives, boy.
Nicky, look.
That's right. The other side, too, Nick. See? We've been waiting for you. Why don't you be a good kid and make it easy?
Mary, come here.
You're hurting my arm.
See this, copper? I got my gun right in this kid's back.
Oh, Nicky, don't shoot me. Please don't.
Shut up, Mary. All right, copper, start something.
Let the girl go, Nick.
Go ahead, start something.
Oh, let me go. I haven't done anything, Nicky. Let me go, please.
You're getting back in the car, you understand, copper? It's just
Mary. Just come straight back.
You're hurting me, please.
Don't be a fool, Nick. Let the girl go.
Right in the car. See if he does it. Now get this wise guy. One shot. Get that? At us or the tires or anything else. One shot, and I let her have it right here.
Mister, do what he says. I don't want to get shot.
Understand me, mister? Well, do you? Ralphie! Hold your fire! Shut the door, Mary. Slam it, I said.
I am, Nicky.
Jimmy! Ned! Sullivan! Hold your fire!
Get away.
In just a few moments, we will pick up the developments of this interesting case. But first, here's an important question.
Tell me, who should know best the difference between toothpaste?
Who should know best the difference between toothpaste? Why, that's easy. Who else but your dentist? That highly skilled friend of yours whose life work is the care of your teeth, the health of your gums. So just ask your dentist about Ipana toothpaste and gentle gum massage.
So many dentists recommend massage.
And a nationwide survey shows more dentists recommend Ipana toothpaste than any other dentifrice. And wait a moment. More dentists personally use Ipana than any other toothpaste.
That's right. There's an overwhelming preference for Ipana. You see, Ipana, followed by gentle gum massage, is the modern way to aid the health of your gums and the brilliance of your smile.
Help your dentist help your smile. For remember, your dentist knows best the difference between toothpaste.
Begin now getting your new Ipana smile. Taste the freshness. Feel the cleanness. See the sparkle.
Get Ipana toothpaste for your Ipana smile. Now back to Mr. District Attorney.
Well, I just had to use my own judgment, Chief. What decided me was the kid himself, this Nicky.
How do you mean, Harrington?
Well, I'm looking for a murderer, Miss Miller, right?
Yes.
A guy that looks something like that sketch the chief had drawn up?
Yes, from the description by that Whitman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. So when this Nicky kid uses the girl as a shield, I think to myself, now, Harrington, if you start something, that little girl might get shot.
Yes, go on.
Now, if this Nicky looked at all like the killer I'm after, Chief, maybe I'd handle it different, but it ain't the same face at all. Well, I let him get away.
It's all right. I agree with you completely. It was the only thing to do.
Oh, thanks, Chief. Of course, we got right on it after the car pulled out. I got every precinct in town alerted.
Well, I shouldn't think it'd be so hard from now on, Harrington. The description you gave of Nicky and Mary is in all the papers this noon.
Yes, what puzzles me is the new set of people. The first filling station robbery, the murder, that is, was done by two men.
Sure. And the one that saw one of them sure ain't talking about this Nicky, Chief.
Well, we're making some progress, at least. The ballistics report is in on the shooting.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Chief, that other report is here, too. The one on the tire mark.
Oh, yes, thank you, Miss Miller. I've got Ted on the files, Harrington. He's checking all the pictures that look anything like the murderer.
Oh, excuse me. Hello, District Attorney's Office.
Yeah, Chief, what about the ballistics report? Anything in it?
Speak slowly, please. I can't hear you. Yes, I have that. Mrs. John Evans.
Hmm?
Your daughter, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in the newspapers. Yes. What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Nicky, what?
Oh, for crying out loud, let me have that, Miss Miller. This is what we've been waiting for.
It was simple, Deuce. I didn't even shoot at the car.
You ought to get one of these things, Nicky. You can play good music on them.
Mr. Wilton, you gotta do something. That policeman saw us. He'll be looking everywhere.
Lucky you told me to smear the license plates with mud, Deuce. Otherwise, I'd have traced the car here.
A kazoo, I think they're called. Ever play one, little girl?
Mr. Wilton, please listen to us. They'll be looking for Nicky.
You're just humming them, sort of. Listen to one.
Deuce, will you stop it? We're in trouble, Deuce. You got to tell us what to do.
You got any money?
Just what's left of my share.
Any more?
I have money. I mean, I can get some. They owe me back pay at the store where I work.
You can't go there, Mary. Somebody recognizes
you. Why can't she? You're the only one they'll be looking for. How far is this place, sister?
It's the up-to-the-minute cleaners. It isn't far.
Mary, no, I won't let you.
You'll do what I tell you, Nikki. Get your hat on, Mary. Go get that dough.
All right, Mrs. Evans. Now, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just tell me everything you can about your daughter, Mary.
District Attorney's office calling. Is this the up-to-the-minute cleaner? Well, just a moment, please. The district attorney wants to talk to you.
Mary Evans?
What?
Hi, Mary.
Let me go. Please, let me go.
Harrington's the name, Mary. Remember me? What, are you on your way to Nick with that pay envelope, eh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, it's funny, but I still think you're a nice kid, Mary. Otherwise, I'd have let you lead me right back to your boyfriend.
I don't understand.
You will. I just don't want you to get hurt. Come on, Mary. We got a date downtown.
I think you're telling the truth, Mary. Don't you, Harrington?
I think she is, Chief.
And don't you see, Mary, it isn't Nick we want so much. It's the other man. Now, there is another man, isn't there?
Please. I don't know anything.
Let me have that sketch, Harrington, will
you?
Yes,
right here, Chief.
Now, this is the man we mean, Mary. You know him, don't you?
Oh.
Don't you?
Oh, please, won't you just leave me alone?
Can I try, Chief?
Yes, yeah, sure, of course, sir.
All right, Mary. Nick's in trouble. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, Mary, listen to me. Being in trouble is one thing, and murder is another.
But Nick didn't kill anybody, either.
Who did?
I can't squeal on Nick.
Mary.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is important.
No,
one of the detectives you assigned just called in. He's located the... wait a minute, I got it written down here. Oh, the 717.
What? You sure, Miss Miller?
Well, sir, he's waiting on the phone for instructions.
Harrington.
Yeah,
Harrington.
Chief, what is it?
Everything we need, I hope. Oh, Miss Miller.
Yes, sir.
Call the emergency crew, will you please?
Huh?
Four cars on the truck.
Right away, please.
The riot squad? What for, Chief?
For a killer, Harrington. Come on, let's go.
The crews are all stationed, Chief.
Mm-hmm. What about the street blockade?
All set up. They got traffic stopped for two blocks in every direction.
That's fine. In the back of the building?
I put Brophy back there with Squad C.
All right, then. We're ready, I think. Is the public address system set up?
Yeah. Here's the mic right here, Chief. Right. Just give me a chance to get up those stairs.
Oh, that won't be necessary, I hope.
Hmm?
Just keep your eye on that doorway. All right, let's get this turned on. Hello? Hello? Turn this on, will you, Jack?
Hello.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's not play with these babies too long, Chief. They're tricky.
Nick Ogden. Nick Ogden. This is the district attorney, Ogden. Come out with your hands in the air.
Nothing yet, Chief.
We know you're in there, Ogden. You and the other man. You haven't got a chance.
Chief, they doused the light in the apartment.
You have 10 seconds, Ogden.
1,001.
Both of you, come out with your hands over your head.
1,004. 1,005.
What's that doorway, Harrington?
Yeah, I am, Chief. 1,008. 1,009. 1,010.
Harrington, stop.
They're shooting, Chief. Crazy bums. They're in that hallway.
Stay down, Harrington. I'll signal the men.
Okay, get out of my way, Chief. I'm going in.
Oh, not without me or not. Come on.
Now watch it, Chief. Keep down.
There goes the tear gas bomb. Mm-hmm.
We can use this car for a shield, Chief. Okay?
Yeah. See you, man.
Hey, boy, they're shooting pretty good. You okay, Chief?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll signal the second squad.
Hey, Chief, look. Here comes one
yes,
of them.
Yes, I see him.
Watch it.
Over
He's fallen, Harrington, on the sidewalk.
Yeah, watch it, Chief. There's still one more.
Yeah. I'm coming in to get you, punk.
Harrington, look out.
God, shoot your rat, shoot!
Come on, copper! Come on in and get me!
Don't worry, mister. I'm coming.
Ah, you couldn't hit me.
Harrington, hey, Chief, give the signal. It's all over.
Hey, Nicky.
Harrington, you're all right?
Yeah, sure, Chief, and you? Nicky.
Mary
didn't squeal, Nick. Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, is he dead, Harrington?
Yeah, Chief, he is. How's the other one?
Yeah, same thing. Both of them are all through.
The district attorney will return in just a moment to explain the capture of Deuce and Nick. But first, a reminder that tomorrow morning a lot of people will wake up to hear... And to a lot of people, that sound can mean a wonderful morning with a good day ahead. But to a lot of other people, there's another sound that can mean the same thing. And that's the sparkling sound of sal hepatica in a glass of water. Yes, and unlike slow-acting laxatives, a sparkling glass of sal hepatica, when you get up, brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. That means you don't have to feel dull and headachy all day, waiting until night to take the laxative you needed in the morning.
And if at the same time you're troubled with excess gastric acidity, let sal hepatica help sweeten your stomach.
So keep a bottle of sal hepatica handy. Then anytime you need a laxative,
morning, noon, or night,
see how much faster you feel better thanks to gentle, speedy sal hepatica. Now, here's your district attorney.
The two sprawled bodies on the sidewalk are the real answers to tonight's case, ladies and gentlemen. The final payment in full for murder. As for Mary, we're quite sure that with proper help, her rehabilitation will be complete.
Poor kid, at least she tried.
Yes, she did, Miss Miller. But for the real solution, we have a great deal of excellent police work to thank. The laboratory technicians, detective crews, research men, they all combined to make the capture of Deuce Wilton and Nick Ogden possible.
Yeah, that call from Mary's mother helped too, Chief. Mm-hmm. When I saw her after she thought maybe her Mary was the girl in the newspapers, she told me where the kid worked.
And then when you found out that she had pay coming, you just waited for her. Isn't that right, Harrington?
That's right, Miss Miller. But it was the Chief, though, that led us to Deuce's joint.
Well, thanks to the lab, Harrington. As you know, we made a careful check on every criminal in the files whose face resembled that in the sketch our artist drew up.
The one he drew from the witness's report.
Right, Miss Miller. And one of these men in the file was Deuce Wilton. And in due course, one of the detectives checked at his apartment.
Yeah, and his garage, Chief. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes, Harrington, and his garage. Well, there you see our man found what we were looking for. A rear left tire, size 717. A tire that fit exactly into the pattern we found on the driveway of the filling station.
And when he found that, you knew he'd found the killer, right, Chief?
Exactly, Miss Miller.
And that was that.
Right.
Oh, Chief, don't forget graduation.
Graduation?
Oh, yes, indeed. Right now, with school graduations at hand, many young people are wondering what life work to take up.
Well, do you have the answer?
Well, I want to suggest that these intelligent young folks give careful consideration to teaching as a career.
Just what does teaching offer, Chief?
Well, teachers enjoy such advantages as security, long vacations, and our rising standard of pay. But even more important, the teachers hold a unique position of honor and respect in the community. Quite naturally, people look up to a teacher. For it is the teacher who molds the characters and futures of our children, and through our children shapes the future of our country. And that's why I want to say to every young person graduating from school this spring, give a thought, a very serious thought, to a teaching career. Teaching is not only good work, it is a truly great profession.
And now what about next week?
Well, friends, we have another exciting story for you next week in the case of the deadly snowflake, another dramatic episode in our constant war on crime. And so until then, thank you and good night.
Here it is, men.
Yes, here it is.
Brand new liquid cream that grooms hair without an unsightly, greasy look.
Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y, Sentry Hair Cream.
What makes Sentry so different? Unlike most hair creams, there's no mineral oil in Sentry. Just pure vegetable oil. No whitish film on your hair.
Sentry seems to vanish on your hair, but Sentry's secret ingredient actually keeps hair neat longer without an objectionable, greasy look.
Guard your grooming with Sentry.
S-E-N-T-R-Y.
Sentry Hair Cream.
Hi, Ingram, yourself.
The names of all characters in tonight's dramatization are fictitious, and any resemblance to names of living persons or actual places is purely coincidental. Our stars were Jay Johnston in the title role, Len Doyle as Harrington, and Vicki Vola as Miss Miller. The music was under the direction of Peter Van Steeden. The program is produced and directed by Edward A. Byron and written by Robert Shaw. Mr. District Attorney was originated by Phillips H. Lord. Remember, Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Bristol Myers invites you to tune in again next week for Duffy's Tavern and Mr. District Attorney.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Mr. District Attorney, on Tune to Do Yesterday from May 19, 1948 on NBC. And so closes this hour of crime on Tune to Do Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.